The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
We read tonight Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. That is the word of God. The text for us this evening is verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, having participated in the Lord's Supper this morning, we are again rejuvenated in our Christian life And the Christian life, according to the scriptures, is one of ongoing spiritual warfare. And tonight we continue our applicatory series on spiritual warfare, and particularly the whole armor of God, by considering Ephesians 6, verse 16. We have already heard the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, through his mouthpiece, the inspired apostle Paul, instruct us in three other parts of the armor of God. First of all, having your loins girt about with truth. The girdle is a belt, and the belt is neither offensive nor defensive in the warfare, but it serves the rest of the armor. The belt was used by the soldier to gird up his loins, to take his outer garment and wrap it tightly to his body, and even if it were hanging low, to pick it up and tuck it into his belt so that he was ready. He could move. He was free to move about and fight. Gird up your loins. We are to have our loins girt about with truth. That is, we need to know truth and study truth, believe truth, love truth, confess truth. That's first in spiritual warfare. That's foundational. Have your loins girt about with truth, and that will make you ready to fight. First, truth. Already for little children. First, truth. Truth. Have your loins girt about with truth. Then have on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the heart, the chest. Knowing your imputed righteousness in Christ, wherewith you were justified, and living in your actual righteousness in Christ, wherewith ye are sanctified. Knowing your justification, living in your sanctification, your heart is protected. The very core, the center of your being in the spiritual warfare against the devil. Have on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, the sandals, the footwear was not offensive, nor was it defensive, but it served the other parts of the armor. When the soldier would put on his footwear, then he was ready to fight. He could stand his ground. He could move on any kind of terrain, whether there were thorns or frozen tundra or slopes. He was ready to move and fight. Wield the sword, take the shield. He had his sandals on, made him ready, prepared. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need the gospel of peace. Peace with God and peace with each other. And having that gospel of peace and believing it, we're ready, able, equipped, prepared to fight. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all. Probably that opening phrase, above all, does not mean in importance. That is, the girdle of truth is important, and the breastplate is important, and the sandals of the preparedness of the gospel of peace are important. But above all else is in importance is the shield of faith. Probably not the idea. But the idea is over all, on top of all. The very bottom you have on the sandals, on your feet. You have that girdle of truth wrapped around your waist, and that breastplate covering your chest, everything from the head on down. Now, over all that, covering all that, take the shield of faith. And that perhaps will make better sense to us when we consider what the shield of the Roman soldier was. It wasn't a buckler. It wasn't a buckler, a small round shield, maybe the size of a second grader's bicycle tire. Shield comes from a word in the Greek that means door. The shield was a door. something to protect an entrance. The shield was large. It was about 4 feet tall and 2.5 feet wide. 4 feet tall. The top of the pulpit here, from the ground up, is not quite 4 feet tall. The shield would stand a little taller than the pulpit. And then the width. This molding here on the center, the left side, here, all the way to the right side of the pulpit, about 2.5 feet. So this width, running from the ground, about this high. Big shield, large shield. You have your feet shod, your loins are girt, your chest is protected, and now over all that, take the shield of faith. Well, that's the physical picture. Shield of faith, what is that spiritually? Is the shield of faith a shield that protects our faith? And then we would have to find out, well, what is the shield that protects our faith? That's not the idea. Take the shield of faith, which shield is your faith. Even as the breastplate of righteousness is the breastplate that is righteousness, so the shield of faith is the shield that is faith. And then the question is, faith in what sense? Faith in the objective sense, that is, the doctrines, the Christian faith, the truth, or faith in the subjective sense, meaning the activity of believing and trusting, faith. Activity, object, faith in what sense? And even as we said, the breastplate of righteousness is the breastplate of righteousness. Why pick one aspect over another? It's both imputed righteousness, justification, and actual righteousness, sanctification. It's both. And so we say tonight, shield of faith. It's both the objective and the subjective. Though if there's an emphasis, it's upon the subjective, the activity. For the text says, taking, that's an action, above all, taking the shield of faith. And so as the Roman soldier would take his large shield, he could protect himself from all of the weapons of the enemy. So we take up and take the shield of faith. We believe in the Word of God. And believing in the Word of God, we're protected from all of the weapons of the enemy. Let's take the shield of faith. Well, let's open up that concept now and dig deeper into the text and see how it applies to our lives so that we can leave the Lord's house tonight taking the shield of faith. Taking the shield of faith. First, let's consider the activity itself. What does it mean to take the shield of faith? In the second place, the urgent need of it. We need to take the shield of faith. This is urgent. And in the third place, the certain victory in it. Taking the shield of faith, victory is ours. Faith! Faith! Taking the shield of faith. Let's define faith this way. Faith is the powerful activity of the believer, whereby he holds for truth all that God has revealed in his word, confidently persuaded that the promises thereof are for him personally. Broadly, faith is holding for truth everything that God reveals in his word. More narrowly, confidently persuaded that the promises thereof are true for him personally. So it's the powerful activity of the believer, whereby he holds for truth all that God has revealed in his word, confidently persuaded that the promises thereof are for him personally. Faith. Now let's unpack that just a bit and look at some of the aspects of faith. Activity. Activity, where does this activity come from? This activity of the believer. And the Arminian says, it comes from within me. I chose to believe in Jesus Christ. And therefore, God gave me salvation. The child of God says, no, no, no. I was dead, totally depraved. My only activity was depraved activity. This is a gift. From all eternity, God chose His people, and He chose to give them faith. And in time and history, He takes His elect people, and He grafts them into Jesus Christ. That's what we read in the form for the Lord's Supper this morning. He grafts us into Jesus Christ, the living Lord. And so out of Jesus Christ comes to the elect child of God all life flowing from Christ. And one important aspect of that life is true faith, so that the child of God believes he has the life of Christ in him. Faith, the activity of faith, believing and trusting, is God's free gift sovereignly bestowed through Jesus Christ. Faith. Word of God, the object, the Word of God. Faith holds for truth all that God has revealed in His Word. That is, faith never looks at self and what I can do. And faith never looks at someone else and what they can do for my salvation. And faith never looks at other supposed holy writings and books. And faith never looks at other supposedly private revelations that God secretly gave. But faith looks at God's Word wherein Christ is revealed. That's the object, the Word of God. Broadly, faith says about the Bible, everything in the Bible is true. Everything. God created in 6 days. True. There was a day in the past when God literally rained fire down from heaven on a city awash in homosexuality. That's truth. The Son of God came into the flesh and was born of a virgin. That's truth. God sends wicked people to hell. That's truth. Jesus Christ will descend out of the clouds one day. The Bible says it. That is truth. All that God reveals in His Word, all those Old Testament ceremonial laws on account of which the church is mocked by the liberals, you believe this? It's all true. Now we have to understand it in light of the new dispensation, but it's true. All that God has revealed in His Word is truth. And now more narrowly and specifically, all of the promises of God to His people in the Scriptures are true for me personally. God promises His people, I will send Christ to die for all of your sins. And the believer says, that's true for me. God promises, I will graft you into my Son, Jesus Christ, so that His life is yours. And belonging to Him, you will never be burned in the fires. You will pass through fires, but you will never be burned. You will have burdens, but they will never crush you. You will never be required to pay for your sins. And faith says, I believe that for me personally. God promises His people, because you are grafted into Christ, you can never be lost. You can never perish. You will never give up the faith. You will never abandon Christ for the army of Satan. And the child of God says, that's so lovely, a promise God gives to His people. And He gives it to me. I will never be lost. God promises His people at the moment of death, you will awake in righteousness and behold Christ in paradise. And on the last day, this your frail, weak body shall be raised and made like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ. And the child of God says, that's God's promise to me. I believe. Faith is the powerful activity of the believer, whereby he holds for truth all that God has revealed in His Word. confidently persuaded. The promises thereof are for him personally. Faith. Thirdly, faith is powerful, powerful activity in the unseen promises of God. So that faith not only believes the promises of God when things are going well and the battle seems quiet and the circumstances seem favorable, but faith believes when circumstances seem to suggest something contrary to the Word of God. Faith believes. Faith is powerful, very powerful. So that when a man starts building a boat and all the ungodly around are mocking and jeering and taunting and saying it's never rained, and what is this? And he says it's a boat, and they say, what's a boat? What do you mean, boat? I'm building a boat. And they laugh at him some more. He believes and he keeps building because God gave him a word. A flood is coming. And the child of God believes. When the child of God is 100 years old and according to the scripture he's dead in his body. He's alive but he's living in a dead body. And his wife next to him is 90 years old and her womb is dead. And God said to them, to him, you will be a father of many nations, and you will have a seed as innumerable as the stars of heavens. He looks at his dead body. He looks at the dead womb of his wife. And then he looks at the word of God, and he says, I believe. I believe. When the child of God is surrounded by calamity and tragedy, all of his possessions are taken. All of his children have been killed. And his own wife is tempting him. And he's covered from head to toe in boils, painful boils. And every circumstance and experience seems to suggest God hates you. And God is angry with you. And God will destroy you. And miserable comforters come alongside of him. Say, God is angry with you. You sinned. The child of God says, I believe. The word of promise. You have a Redeemer, and in Him life, and for His sake, I love you. Faith is exceedingly powerful. There's nothing like faith in all the world. And faith is so powerful because it's the activity of those who've been grafted into Jesus Christ. The Lord, the Almighty Lord, His power is our power, and we believe by faith. Faith. Faith is the powerful activity whereby the believer holds for truth all that God has revealed in His Word, confidently persuaded the promises thereof are true for him personally. Faith. Faith is our shield, according to the text. Shield of faith. The Roman soldier had that shield, which was very large. Occasionally it would be wrapped thinly in metal. But very quickly the shield could become too heavy and cumbersome and a hindrance in battle. Very often the shield was a piece of wood, sometimes rounded just a bit, and wrapped in some good animal hides. And sometimes even anointed with oil to make it slick and smooth. And the Roman soldier would take his shield. Take it. He not only holds it, but in the heat of the battle, he takes it. And when the arrows come high, he lifts it up and deflects the arrows. And he spins to the left and the sword glances off his shield. And he holds it in front of him and he marches forward amid a barrage of spears and javelins to the aid he comes of his fallen comrade. He would take the shield. Spiritually, we take the shield of faith. And to do that, we consciously say in our hearts, I believe God's word. That's what it means to take the shield of faith. We say, I believe God's word. And in order to take that shield effectively, we must live in God's word. Always in God's word by the Spirit. So that we have personal devotions because we have to. No, because we want to. We want to. We're in the word. We come to God's house on the Lord's Day and we are in the word. We have friends who believe in Christ as we do, so that even in casual conversation, we perhaps can talk about the word and be in the word. We have our Bible studies so that we can be in the word. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The apostle Paul says elsewhere, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, even and especially through songs. Not the songs of the world that promote lust and sex and greed and money, but the songs of God's word. Let them dwell richly in your heart. Live in the word of God. And then in a moment's notice, when a temptation is aimed at us and it's coming our way, we can maneuver and take the shield of faith and block it. I believe. And spin. I believe. And here comes another temptation. I believe. That is, we live in the word of God. It dwells richly in our hearts. And then we apply it specifically to each temptation that comes to us, saying, "I believe this in God's word," or "I believe that in God's word." And that's how the soldier stands in battle. And that's how we protect the whole of our body and all of the graces that are put in us by Jesus Christ, our heart and mind and soul and strength, behind the shield of faith, which we take up. I believe in God's word. You see then, to go back, how important are the sandals. I believe the gospel of peace. Have your loins girt about with truth. We need truth. The gospel of truth. The word of truth. In the word of God. So that in a moment's notice, whenever the temptation comes, we can take up the shield of faith. I believe. Doing so is an urgent necessity. Taking the shield of faith. If anyone doubts whether or not the Christian life is one of ongoing spiritual warfare, or if anyone doubts the importance of taking up, now specifically, the shield of faith, he has not read, or perhaps he has read, but has not believed Ephesians 6, verse 16. This activity of taking up the shield is urgent. Look at the enemy we face. The second half of 16, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked. The wicked there does not refer to the ungodly in the world in which we live. It ought to read the wicked one. It refers to one being, Satan, the wicked. Satan is the wicked one. He is a fallen angel. And he hates God. He is so wicked in his hatred for God that all of his designs and actions are against God. He is the wicked one. And he has fiery darts. Now to go back to the Roman soldier in warfare, and really all of the era of the scriptures, and the references to darts in the Bible, we ought not think of darts as these little weapons about the size of an ink pen. And the skill for throwing them then is found in the wrist. That's not the idea of a dart here. A dart refers to an arrow, or even sometimes a spear or a javelin. Here, an arrow is a good illustration. There's actually one Bible translation that gives the phrase flaming missiles Don't think little darts. Think mighty arrows. And in warfare of old, an arrow could be dipped in some combustible substance, and then it was set afire and shot at the enemy. Fiery darts, fiery arrows. Satan has fiery arrows, and those arrows represent his temptations. Temptations. All of Satan's temptations, as fiery arrows, are dipped in the fires of hell. And he shoots them at the child of God, hoping to pierce him with that flaming arrow and set his soul on fire with the fires of hell, that is, with the desires and lusts and thoughts of hell. And if he falls and he's not rescued, and that fire keeps growing inside of him, he will one day perish in hell. This individual who may be pierced with the arrows of Satan, this is not a game. This is not sport. This is not fiction. This is real. This is warfare. And I certainly don't mean in any way to belittle what any earthly soldier has done. And earthly soldiers no doubt have far more courage than I have as they're on the battlefield. But this text is revealing to us that all of the wars of history are sport. They're child's play. Dare I say it? Storming the beaches of Normandy, or being in the trenches in Europe in World War I, child's play compared to the warfare that is described here between God's people and Satan, who shoots darts dipped in the fires of hell. Urgent, urgent necessity. Take up the shield of faith. Satan is a very real and present danger, and he never rests, and he's always using the wicked, the ungodly of the world, and all of the things and the pleasures of the world. And he appeals to our own sinful flesh, and he's always fighting. He's up there overlooking us on every bluff, and he's lurking behind every corner when we go to work and when we come to church, when we go to school, when we're on vacation. No matter where we are, what we do, he's always there and always fighting. And he's desperately wicked. He hates God and everything God stands for and God represents. He hates us. He's determined to destroy us. And he's the most skilled and cunning enemy in the history of the universe. There are times when a serial killer is at loose in the neighborhood, and the whole world knows about it through the news, and the city is frozen in fear, and people don't dare go out of their houses, and yet most of the world thinks Satan is a joke. And even Christians don't take Satan seriously with all of his demons. And the Word of God says this is war. Fiery darts. And that makes it so urgent that we take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When the Roman soldier took up his shield and toward him came a fiery dart, a fiery arrow, it's not that the arrow hit the shield and immediately the flames died, but they hit the shield and they fell harmlessly to the ground. Take up the shield of faith. And as all these temptations of the devil come, they hit the shield and fall harmlessly to the ground, and the soldier is protected. Take up the shield of faith. Necessary, necessary. Well, what's coming toward us? What are these darts, these fiery arrows? If we examine the scriptures, putting together dart or arrow and fire, it's very clear one of the most common fiery arrows of Satan is the temptation of sexual lust. The scriptures make that clear. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 9 says, "But if they," that is the unmarried, "if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." And the teaching of the inspired apostle there is that if one who is not married cannot control himself, sexually, and is satisfying desires in unlawful ways, he must consider getting married. He must look for a wife to get married, lest he burn up with unlawful sexual desires and ultimately under the wrath of God. "Let them marry," says the apostle, "for it's better to marry than to burn." 1 Corinthians 7. Then go all the way back in the Old Testament to Proverbs 7, where the wise man warns the young foolish man as he walks through the city, and he goes right past the house of the strange woman, the harlot, and it's twilight. And she comes out of the house in her seductive clothing, and she kisses him, and she says, "I've made my bed with spices. Come, let's come and go into my house and take our fill of love until morning." And then we read this in verses 22 and 23. "He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver." A dart. Proverbs 7, 1 Corinthians 7 combines burning fires and darts and teaches us that refers in one outstanding way spiritually to the temptation of sexual lust. We need to take the shield of faith. What it looks like to take the shield of faith amid all those fiery darts is best illustrated in the Old Testament. We go all the way back to Egypt, to the life of God's own man named Joseph. There was Joseph, a faithful man of God. He was goodly and well-favored, living in Egypt in his master Potiphar's house. A faithful master, but he had an ungodly wife, Potiphar's wife. The very first thing we read of her in connection with Joseph is that she cast her eyes upon him and said, "Lie with me." And he refused. No. And she says, "Lie with me." No. "Lie with me." No. And at last, she takes him by force and he has to run and flee. Probably began, though, with a look. So there he is one day. This day is no different than any other day. And he's busy working. And all of a sudden, ever so swiftly, comes a fiery arrow of the temptation of sexual lust right toward Joseph, because his master's wife, casts a seductive look at him. And all of a sudden, there it is. And maybe a few days later, he's busy working, and she comes walking by, not looking at him at all, but ever so deliberately, she's seductively dressed, getting him to look, perhaps. And there again comes another fiery arrow. All of a sudden, there it is. No way to prepare and know it's coming. But there it is. And then eventually comes the bold petition, "Lie with me, lie with me." These are all fiery darts of the wicked one trying to pierce the soul of Joseph with sexual lust and get that fire started. But he stood. He stood victoriously because Joseph took the shield of faith. The same shield he so vigorously grasped as his brothers hurled him into that deep pit. The same shield he was holding as the Ishmaelites took him and brought him all the way down into Egypt. That's the shield he carried into Potiphar's house. That's the shield of faith that all of us must take up every single day. If we go on a date and get into the car with our date, we take the shield with us, but it's too big, it won't fit in the car. It goes in first, and if it won't fit, you won't fit. And when we go to work, we take the shield of faith and we hold it in one hand and the device in the other hand. We're scrolling page after page on the screen. Device in one hand, shield of faith in the other. Everywhere we go, in everything we do, take the shield of faith. That's what Joseph did. And having the shield of faith, he stood. See it? He's in the house. And maybe she casts a seductive glance, or maybe she walks by suggestively, or she comes and says with her bold petition, "Lie with me." All of these are evidences of the fiery darts of Satan. He's aiming and shooting them ever so swiftly right at Joseph. But he holds the shield of faith. He lives in the Word of God, and he's ready at any moment to take up the shield. I believe God's Word. God is a holy God, and God commands me to be holy, and all uncleanness is accursed of God. And if I were to fall for this temptation, though it would be so pleasing perhaps to my flesh, it would eat at me, and it would work destruction in me, and there would be guilt and shame and consequences. Pleasure? This is my pleasure. I believe the Word of God. There are pleasures forevermore at God's right hand. No. And they're quenched. Arrow after arrow after arrow. And every time, I believe God's Word. And he will send a Savior to die for me, to cover all of my sins, to keep me from sin. I believe that. I'm looking for him. I don't want to dishonor God's name here in Egypt and the name of his covenant. I believe in the covenant God. And all those arrows are quenched. I believe. It's not hard at all to imagine what would have happened if Joseph were walking around his master's home and outside doing his work with empty hands, and he didn't have the shield of faith. The arrows would have come, they would have pierced his soul and set them on fire with sexual lust, and he would have fallen. He would have fallen. But he took the shield of faith. Although the Bible makes that very clear and close connection between burning fires and darts, that is spiritually, and the temptations of sexual lust, there's so many other fiery arrows of Satan. There's the arrows of anger as he uses the circumstances around us in our life to try to get us to erupt in anger or to be filled with hatred, to look at another person with hatred. He has these fiery arrows of the temptations to embrace false doctrine. And he shoots them and shoots them. Maybe to get just a little fire started in the heart where this doctrine's not so bad. And this lifestyle's not so bad. And arrow after arrow just to get something started. He lets loose his fiery arrows, flaming missiles of jealousy, just to get a little fire started in the heart, just a little one. I mean, jealous over her and what she has and all of the attention he gets. Jealousy. He lets loose those fiery arrows of doubt to set the soul of the child of God aflame with doubts that things are never going to get better. Things are never going to turn out. God doesn't even care about me. He doesn't care that my life is miserable. Doubt, doubt, doubt. He constantly shoots the arrows of temptations to fear persecution. Look at all around, he says. all this wickedness in the earth, the flamboyant sinners who flaunt their gross wickedness before the church, and another beheading by Islamic terrorists, and where are they moving and how? And look at the laws of nations that are changing in favor of sin. And he uses all of these events and he sends his arrows to tempt us to fear. To fear. That we're going to lose our school, and that we're going to lose the church, and that I'm going to lose my children, and fear and fear and fear so much that we can't sleep at night, and it's hard for me to function during the day, overcome with fear. That's his goal. Shoots arrows of fear of persecution. But this too, maybe there was a Christian soldier who fell, who didn't take up the shield of faith and was pierced right through the heart with a flaming arrow of Satan. And the heart was set aflame with lusts from hell. And the Christian soldier fell into sin. And there he or she falls in the battlefield. Now, physically, the Christian is running and having a high-o time and laughing and playing in sin. Spiritually, he or she is a fallen, dying soldier. And Satan sees that soldier, but so does God in heaven, God of mercy. And he comes and he lifts up that soldier and forgives that soldier's sin. And quickens the heart of that soldier to love for God. And the soldier stands up again in the battlefield and takes the shield of faith. But Satan doesn't lose sight of that soldier. And now he aims those fiery arrows of doubt. Doubt. Did God really forgive you? Does God really love you? You didn't take the shield of faith once and you fell. Are you sure you're a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ? And are you sure anyone even likes you? They probably all hate you and want you to leave the army. Doubt after doubt after doubt. And how will the Christian soldier stand? The Word of God says, we take up the shield of faith. So urgent, the shield of faith, so that when a very unfortunate situation comes and Satan's right there to tempt us to burn up in anger and to unleash a tirade against another person, we take the shield of faith. We're ready. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. I believe God's word. Jesus died to forgive my sins and to keep me from anger. I believe God's word. And the arrows are quenched. He sends the arrows of pressure to embrace false doctrine. And all the other people in this gathering believe this false doctrine. And most of the attendees at this conference believe in this false doctrine. Over 50% of the ministers who've come to this synodical gathering believe in this doctrine. And there are all these arrows of temptation coming from Satan. And the child of God says, I believe the Bible. I believe God created in 6 days. I believe Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. There are no conditions in salvation. And those darts and arrows are quenched. Quenched. I believe. He sends all kinds of temptations to be jealous concerning other soldiers. And we take up the shield of faith. I believe the Bible. Jealousy in my heart is sin. And I believe that God gave a place, each member a place in the body and different gifts, that there should be no schism through jealousy, but that the members have the same care one for another. I believe that. And the fiery arrows of jealousy and hatred are quenched. I believe. Doubt. When circumstances are adverse and the arrows of doubt are flying, the child of God wields the shield. I believe the word of truth, that all things work together for my good. And those doubts never hit. Those temptations to doubt, they never hit the soldier. They're quenched. They fall harmlessly to the ground. When we're tempted to fear persecution, we take the... That's the only way. The only way. When tempted to fear persecution, we take the shield of faith. I believe God's word. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror quenched. Flaming missiles of fear of persecution quenched. I believe and hold for truth all that God has revealed in his word. Confidently persuaded, the promises thereof are for me personally. And even when I'm a soldier who once fell, because I didn't take up the shield of faith, and I fell into sin, and Satan now assaults me with so many flaming missiles, I believe and hold up the shield of faith, believing this word of God. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you, soldier, now getting back up, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee and will keep drawing thee, quenched. And he stands. She stands. Without the shield of faith, the battle will soon be over and we will fall injured. And then what? But taking the shield of faith, we have certain victory. Because we are grafted into Jesus Christ, his life is ours. We are, his life is ours. We have faith. We do believe. And believing, that is, taking the shield of faith, we have certain victory. The text really emphasizes that. Certain victory. Listen, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall, that's the shell of certainty, ye shall be able, or very literally, have power to, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all. That's an important little word. Be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Certain. It's absolutely certain. Taking the shield of faith, victory is certain. There's never been a shield like that in the history of warfare, where anyone can say, you take this shield into battle and you will have victory. This shield may stop perhaps 70-80+% of the missiles. The word of God says, taking the shield of faith, we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, of the wicked one, the most cunning, crafty, frightening, rebellious, wicked enemy in the universe. We shall be able to quench all his fiery darts. Shield of faith. With it, victory is certain. 1 John 5, verse 4 puts it this way. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Even our faith. And then you ask, why? Why is victory so certain for those who take the shield of faith? And the context answers that. Because this is not the chinked, flawed armor of man, Go to battle with faith as your own work. Go to battle with confidence that you can outwit Satan. According to verse 13, the shield of faith is part of the whole armor of God. Armor of God. When you take the shield of faith, you take God. Now, does anyone suppose that Satan has even one flaming missile, fiery dart that can penetrate Almighty God? You know why Joseph stood in Potiphar's house? He was shielded by Almighty God. God is our shield, the whole armor of God. So we go to battle taking the shield of faith, confident of victory, and singing as we fight. Psalm 3, verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up of mine head. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a resounding note of confidence is sounded in the sacred scriptures tonight. Not for unbelief, but for us who believe by faith. The enemy is mighty, the temptations are many, but thou art God and God alone. And Jesus Christ is our almighty sovereign Savior. And thou through him hast given to us faith so that we can overcome the world and the wicked one himself by faith. Lord, use the preaching of the gospel to fit this armor to us tonight. And use the holy sacrament this morning to confirm us in our faith. So that tonight we leave this house and tomorrow morning we wake up and wherever we go, we take the shield of faith, quenching all the fiery darts of Satan. Grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.